Well, Jenny and I want to say thank you so much for your hospitality this week. For those of you that don't know, we're the Junipers, David and Jenny Juniper. We've been serving in the Congo for the last 3 years with CMS, Church Missionary Society, and we're just so grateful to be partnering with this church. We've had a lovely time reconnecting with people, some people that have known my family from long before I was born. So it's been just delightful to be part of your home groups and spend time with different people and catch up with Anderson and Rosemary. Life has been very busy. We've got a lot done in the last 50 years, but a lot of it wasn't actually spending time together. So it's been, the last week has been just lovely. Jenny and I live in the poorest region in the world. Four of the 10 poorest countries in the world are the Democratic Republic of Congo and three of our neighbours. When our Congolese friends look at the blessings of Deuteronomy, that great list, they look at the West and they go, "You guys are blessed! Wow! Look at your wealth and your security and your peace." And they look at their own country and they go, and their own lives, and they think, "Wow, we are cursed. We must be very bad people." I have had the privilege of teaching several classes at a little training institute for evangelists and in our little theological institute, the introduction to the Bible and the introduction to the Old Testament. And as we do that, one of the things we highlight is the various covenants in the Old Testament. And this one, the covenant that Moses makes with Israel, that God makes with Israel, is one of those that we look at and look at in detail. And it's very, very clear, very plain. It's a reinforcement of the covenant in Exodus. The Ten Commandments are found in both books. And it's very simple. If you obey, you will be blessed. If you disobey, you will be cursed. So I say to my students, I say, I wake up in the morning and I say, "Jambo marembo wangu, good morning, my beautiful. Am I blessed or am I cursed?" "Oh, you're blessed." And then I'm driving down the street and someone yells out, "Mungu mzungu mabaya, bad white man." And I yell out, "Funga kinwa, shut your mouth." Am I blessed or am I cursed? "Oh, you're cursed." And so at that moment, I'm hit by a truck and I'm killed. Where do I go? You go down. Because I'm cursed. I didn't get the opportunity to repent and confess. And so I'm under God's curse. And so, bam, I'm destined for hell. I want to just explore that dynamic this morning, and we're going to do so. I've got about 4 points to make, so hold with me. We've got a lot of information. I'll try and make it as painless as possible. Why would people think that way? Well, partly because in our part of the world, hardly anything happens from natural causes. So everything has a spiritual or personal cause. So if your goat dies, your crops fail, your child is sick, the cause is spiritual. Someone has put a curse on me, or evil spirits have oppressed me because of someone's behavior or my own behavior. The second reason is because of colonization. So the Congo was colonized by Prince Leopold. He took it as his personal fiefdom. And as part of that deal, he said to the Catholic Church, "Please come and grow in the Congo, because I want the locals to be taught how to behave well, to be more compliant, and to be more productive in harvesting rubber so that I can become an incredibly wealthy man." The third reason is because the East African Revival, which was an amazing movement of God in East Africa in the last century, was a holiness revival. So one of the things that was emphasized, and rightly so, is holiness of life. But sometimes people feel as though if you emphasize grace, you're going to undermine holiness. So you play down grace and security and things like that. You emphasize the fact that if you're not doing the right thing, God will be angry with you. And so I remember hearing years ago of someone's trundling through Tanzania in a Land Rover, and they say, so what if you sinned today and you died tonight before you had the opportunity to confess? Where would you go? Oh, I'd go to hell. So it's a long history, and it's the kind of Protestantism that was very prominent in our part of the world for a long time. The fourth reason is because of the American gospel. So many of you will be familiar with the American gospel, the power of positive thinking, and part of that is the prosperity gospel, which is very prominent in Africa. And it says, come and bring your seed money, come and bless the pastor, and God will bless you. So the effect of all this, these several things that feed into that this worldview, is that people will do things like our language teacher, William. He's a lovely, lovely man. His wife is very devout. He was an absolute lost cause, and his wife led him to Christ. And one day, they had a visiting preacher, so he went along with his wife to church. And the preacher said, the Lord has blessed me, and he said, you know, bring $100 up the front and you'll receive your blessing. You'll receive your miracle. $100 is a month's wages. So think about what that would cost you. Bring that up the front. These are very, very poor people. And my friend was, our teacher was very upset about this, so he stormed out. But he was even more upset later when he found out his wife had given the guy some money. These kinds of churches are everywhere in our part of the world because they're seeking blessing, and they think that blessing is going to come from someone who has a nearer access to God than they do. There's an emphasis on moralism. So doing the right thing is the measure for how acceptable you are to God. There's a tendency towards legalism. Of going through this with one of the students, and I said, so, you know, you're blessed if you obey and cursed if you disobey. And the problem is we all disobey. Do you disobey, don't you? And he said, no. I don't sin. Oh, goodness. Maybe you should be teaching me. But it's that kind of legalism. And I've known people like that in Australia. I haven't sinned for weeks. Charles Spurgeon once met someone like that, and I can't remember whether he stamped on his foot or punched him in the nose, but either way, several months of sanctified living went out the window very quickly. And you can, as long as you make the rules, you know, the fence sort of wide enough, you can get away with anything. But it's very unhelpful. There's a reliance on ritual. So you come and you do the right thing. You come to church, you sing in the choir, you take communion, and therefore, because of your participation in this ritual, then God will bless you. That's how non-Christian religions work. They work with ritual. So they come and you seek the blessing of the gods through some form of ritual. All this leads to a lack of assurance. So one of our students, lovely, lovely fella, LeBon, and I got to teach him in second year and third year. And second year, I got to know the students, and he was always just a little bit hangdog, just a little bit morose. And hard, you know, his head wasn't up, and always very unsure of himself, and he's standing before God. And it was wonderful that after having the privilege of unpacking some of these things with him, you could see his shoulders start to come back and his head start to lift, and now he's pastoring one of our churches in the far west in Walikali. And we're so grateful that he has come to understand something, I'm not saying he's arrived, but something of the victory and the grace and the assurance of Christ. So what's the solution? Well, I'll tell you how I address this with some of the classes that I've been working with. I said to them, so Israel would be blessed if they obey and cursed if they disobey. So how did Israel go? Did they obey? No, they didn't. So what did they receive? They received God's curse. Oh, okay. So what do you think? Where's the place of blessing? Oh, obedience. Blessing, the place of a blessing is obedience. I said, well, what about Jesus? You know that Jesus, as Israel did, he came out of Egypt, passed through the waters as Israel did, went into the wilderness as Israel did for 40, as Israel did, was tested as Israel was, and he was hungry as Israel was. Did he sin? Oh, no. He was obedient. So if Jesus was obedient, what does he receive? He receives blessing. Does he receive any cursing? No, he doesn't. He received blessing because he was obedient. Ah, right. So where do you think the place of blessing might be? Obedience. No. Remember, Jesus was obedient, and so he receives God's blessing. Where do you think the place of blessing might be? Ephesians chapter 1. Take him to Ephesians 1. I say, read Ephesians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Where is the place of blessing? It's in Christ. If you want to be blessed by God, where do you need to be? You need to be in Christ. Oh, this is very new. Takes him a little while. There's a few other things, as I've thought about this and talked about it with people, there are a few other things that I think help us to work through this dynamic of blessing and cursing in the Bible. One that I found very helpful that someone said recently is that blessing and cursing in the Bible are a form of prayer. Okay, they're not magic. They're a form of prayer. God, please bless these people. God, please curse these people. So Proverbs 11:26, people curse the one who hoards grain, but they pray God's blessing on the one who is willing to sell. And it makes sense, doesn't it? If someone wants your father to treat you badly, will he do so? No. So if you're a believer, if you're a son of God, then you are protected from curses because God is not going to curse you. Doesn't matter what anyone calls on God to do. Doesn't matter how grumpy people are with you. They can ask God to make your life difficult. It won't make any difference at all because God is your Father. He loves you. He's not going to treat you badly. Proverbs 26:2, great proverb. Like a fluttering sparrow or a darting swallow, an undeserved curse does not come to rest. Why not? Because God is just. He's not going to do bad things to people who don't deserve it. So it's really helped me. And I'm reminded of the story of Balaam and the donkey. You know, the talking donkey, the inspiration and encouragement for all us preachers. If God can speak through a donkey, he might be able to speak through me. And Balaam is summoned to curse Israel. And he says, how can I curse those whom God has not cursed? How can I denounce those whom the Lord has not denounced? You can't curse, pray God to bring misfortune on people, on the people that God has blessed. Thirdly, so the first two were the effect, the reasons for this, the effect, the solution Blessing and cursing are a prayer. And the third thing is to remember that if you are a follower of Jesus, then suffering is not a curse. It is a blessing. Doesn't feel like it's a blessing. Sometimes it can be exceedingly painful. But remember Hebrews chapter 12. Have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father?" Again, how do we think about this in a broader framework? Remember that much of what looks like blessing and cursing in the world, as we look on, is actually the outworking of what we call God's common grace. So in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Love your neighbor," and you've heard it was said, "Love your neighbor, hate your enemy." But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. It's part of God's common grace. And because God has made a good, ordered world, I mean, it's not as good as it should be because of our rebellion, but God has made it's still a good world, and it's an ordered world. And so there is such a thing as natural causes. And so you plant seed, you can expect to get a harvest because God has made the world in this ordered way. We can recognize that order and we can work with it and not against it. And it's called wisdom. We'll do well. If you don't recognize that order and you are always working against it, that's called being foolish. And you don't actually have to be a follower of Jesus to be wise in that sense. There are people who are not Christians who do very well in the world because of God's common grace. I very much appreciated Paul's encouragement over the Lord's table this morning. We can be lulled into a bit of a sense, the feeling that because we're doing well, because life is comfortable for us, that we are under God's blessing. We are blessed by God. But the passage that we looked at earlier over the Lord's Supper, Galatians 3, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law." And this is where my friends are right. You know, if you obey, you will be blessed. If you disobey, you will be cursed. And that means obey everything. Disobey in anything. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified, put right before God. Because the righteous will live by faith. And then verse 13, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. It is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a pole." And this is really important because I think the default position for many people is, look, I'm a good bloke. I'm a good bloke. And so, you know, I'm not much into that religious stuff and that church stuff, but I'm a good bloke. And so I have a sense of, yeah, I live my life in a world which you can't ignore God, but when that time comes when I have to give an account, I'll be able to say, look, God, I didn't get everything right, but I'm a good bloke. Thank you for all the blessings you gave me. But the place of blessing is in Christ. That's where you're safe. If you're outside of Christ, you can enjoy all the good things of this world and still be under God's curse. So the question is, can I urge you today? We know some of you well. It's been lovely to get to know you again and to reconnect. Many of you, I don't know. I don't know where you stand with Jesus as you come here today. But can I urge you, please, do not presume any longer upon the grace of God. You get to enjoy His benefits purely at His goodwill. But you must not presume on that. It's only in Christ where you will be safe. Flee to Him, embrace Him, seek Him and the righteousness that He brings. Know the joy and peace that comes from being able to stand before God, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. So I'm teaching my students, and day two, we go through obedience, blessing, disobedience, cursing. Jesus is obedient. We're blessed in Him. Day two. So we a bit of revision. So the covenant in Deuteronomy says if you're obedient, you'll be blessed. If you're disobedient, you'll be cursed. I wake up in the morning, I say, Jumbo, Marembo, Wangu, good morning, my beautiful. Am I blessed? Oh, you're blessed. And you go down the street and someone yells out, Mzungu Mabaya, bad white man. And I say, Funga Kinwa, shut your mouth. And then I'm hit by a lorry. Where do I go? Oh, you go down there. So, well, we go through it all again. Remember, Jesus came out of Egypt and He went through the waters and He went into the desert and He was tested for 40 and He was hungry. Was He obedient? Yes, He was. Was He disobedient? No, He wasn't. So was He blessed? Yes, He was. So where's the place of safety and blessing? Ephesians 1, we have every spiritual blessing in Christ. Oh, yeah, great. That's right. We did that yesterday. Third day, we're doing revision. I wake up in the morning and I say, Jumbo Marembo Wangu, good morning, my beautiful. Am I blessed? Oh, you're blessed. And I go down the street, someone yells out, Mzungu Mabaya, bad white man. I say, Funga Kinwa, shut your mouth. And then I'm hit by a lorry. Where do I go? Where's the place of blessing and safety? Someone yells out, obedience. And all the others go, no, in Christ. And I go, hallelujah. It takes a while, but it does with us as well, you know. So we need to hear things over and over again. This is our joy. This is our delight to see people, and they know their Bibles so well. And they're very devout, and they put us to shame in so many ways in which they persevere before Christ in the face of great difficulty. And yet, they don't enjoy the freedom and confidence before God that they should. And we're training church leaders, pastors, evangelists. And if they don't know that joy and confidence themselves, how can they teach their people that joy and confidence? So this is our great joy and delight, to be able to be part of a program, a group of churches. We've got about 50 churches. And we work with some colleagues from CMS UK, and we work very well together, and we have this privilege of teaching people who are hungry to learn. and for them to go, wow, yeah, I'm blessed in Christ. And so I need to be in Christ, and people need to be in Christ. And once they're in Christ, they're secure and safe. This is our joy and delight. We've had the privilege of being part of this for the last 3 years, through your partnership and a number of other churches that we partner with. We're so grateful, as I said before, to have been able to reconnect with you, and I'm looking forward to some home groups this week where we actually go through some of this stuff, and you can push back on me and maybe help a bit as well to fill out a few things that I might have missed. I'm really looking forward to that. Come and check us out, the display at the back. Grab one of our prayer cards. Check out the handiwork of the widows, and we'll look forward to seeing you a bit later.